So yesterday was Gopashtami. So in Gopashtami was observed. All the Gopas. It's not that only the Gopis, it is not that the Gopas worship Krishna. Rather it was Krishna who worshipped Gopas and the Gopas blessed him. Krishna would respect all the Gopas. But today the Rishi Maharshis, they said that if you don't take the blessings and if you don't worship your superiors, then the parampara will be lost. Therefore, in this month of Kartik, in this Suklashtami, bright fortnight of the moon, and Krishnashtami, Krishna, he was born on the dark fortnight. And on the bright fortnight, this is the bright fortnight is of Radharani, where the dark fortnight is of Krishna. Especially the eighth day of the waxing moon. So we say Krishna, he respects all the Gopas, gives them gifts, he receives their blessings, and when he receives their mercy and blessings, then he is always pleased to be in the dynasty of the Gopas. As long as you don't have the blessings, mercy of your elder superiors, then that person, he is like an orphan. And he has no value. And if no one bestows their mercy, blessings upon him, then he is an orphan. So on this day of the Ashtami, Krishna, the Rishis, they said, Krishna should go to Parjanya on all the elderly Gopas and he should worship them. How should he worship them? Because Yashoda Ananda would not let him leave home. So when the elderly Gopas are worshipped, then he'll receive their blessings, he'll be competent, he'll be qualified, he'll be healthy, he'll be powerful. Then Nanda Baba said, all right, this is very good. He should be worshipped. He should worship the Gopas. He should respect them. I'll let my son worship them. So then invitations are given all over Rajmandal that today the Gopas will be worshipped. So among them, the most prominent Gopas were seated on a royal throne, on a singhasan. A turban was tied on their heads. Tilak was applied on their foreheads. And then Pushpanjali was offered at the lotus feet. And then Krishna, he received the blessings by respecting them nicely. And they say, they will always bestow their mercy and blessings upon him. So Krishna will always be protected. In this way, Nanda Baba, his main objective was fulfilled in this way. So then this way there was a big festival observed. So then Yashoda Mata, she was called. So then this way invitations were given everywhere for Krishna's birthday. At that time everyone came and blessed Krishna. They applied tilak on his forehead. But Krishna did not worship anyone. At that time, Krishna, he said, all right, today I'll worship the cows, the calves. See, when he was a small boy, he could not worship the Gopas and Gopis. But now that he had grown a little older, now he should glorify and worship the Gopas and Gopis, because he'd become much older now. So then Nanda arranged for nice gifts that Krishna could offer to these Gopas and Gopis. So when this news spread everywhere, in Mathura also, this news spread. Even Kansa, he received word. His spies, Kafia means his spies, they told him that, no, Krishna, he is the prince. And then, in the future, he will not only visit the forests, he'll also come here to Mathura. He'll conquer Mathura. So, oh Kansa, you should make arrangements. You will not go to Braj, so you invite Braj here. And then this way, if you oppose him, then he may be intimidated. So rather, you should respect him. You should respect him with love and affection, and your desire should be fulfilled. That Krishna will be killed. So then Kansa, listening to his ministers and spies, he called Akrura. All the Yadavas had scattered here and there because of Kansa's atrocities. And those who were caught, they were imprisoned. So then Kansa, he called Akrura. He respected him. He said, "Oh uncle, oh my dear uncle, you are my well-wisher. You always desire my auspiciousness, my welfare, my well-being. So I have a request to you at your lotus feet." I said, "Oh, I have not done anything good in my life. Never done anything pious in my life. I've only done inauspicious things in my life. So today it is my desire that on this Chaturdashi I will perform this Dhanuryagya, where Shivji will be worshipped and this Malla Yuddha will take place. And this way I'll make sure that this Yagya will please Lord Shiva very much. I'll invite all the devatas, and they say, please go to Braj and invite Nanda as well. Nanda should come with his sons, Sunanda, Nanda, Abhinanda. Also invite Vishwabhanu Maharaj, invite all the gopas of Braj for this Dhanushyagya. They should attend this festival. And then I will reward those who will win in these wrestling matches. Paritoshak means gift. So they say, but the hypocrites, the cheaters, they know how to make many excuses. You see, if someone speaks very sweet words to you, then you must know that what the result will be very fearsome. Because you see, the wicked never speak sweet words. They never fold their hands. They never respect anyone. This is their nature. But if they start speaking sweet words, and then they realize, oh, now they've changed. But what actually, they're not changed. They're rather looking to do something even more dangerous. So Kansa, he was like this. So Akrura knew that Kansa is very wicked, but he was living there with him. So considered, oh my dear uncle, please call those boys here. Either if you don't bring them, then you'll see my face will be very black. Means I'll be very displeased with you. Or else either I'll be separated from you or you'll be separated from me. Means I'll kill you. So politics is very subtle. It's a very subtle thing, politics. Akrura knew Kansa's politics. He knew about how he was very wicked. So he said, "All right, anyhow, at least I'll have Krishna's darshan. And all right, this is my last journey. Okay, ultimately I have to die. So let me at least die, taking a last breath by seeing Krishna's face, after seeing his face." So Kansa said, "Don't go walking. I'll give you my own chariot. And you should sit on the chariot and go. And you should go on this chariot, which is pulled by very powerful horses. Go quickly, return quickly." It was on the same chariot that Kansa had dressed himself very nicely and had seated Devaki on this chariot. And then when there was this aerial proclamation, this Akashvani, this voice from the sky, that our Kansa, the eighth son of this Devaki, will be the reason of your death. And this, now Kansa became very angry, saying, oh, this lady's son will kill me. He wanted to kill her. He wanted to behead her. And then she'll not bear any sons. Then who will kill me? Who can possibly kill me? So then Vasudev Maharaj, he convinced him very intelligently, very in a very humble way. He said, listen, you've just married your younger sister to me. She's not even given birth to any children. What is the point in killing her? All right, if she has any sons, then every time I'll hand her over to you. I'll hand every son over to you. You can either kill them, make pakodis out of them, you can make chutney out of them, do whatever you want. So in this way, he convinced him. But Kansa still, he was not convinced. Then was there, he saw that this demon will not agree. So then anyhow, he will not listen. So then was there Maharaj, who is he? He is the embodiment of this Vishuddha Sattva, unalloyed goodness, unmixed goodness. So dear devotee of Sri Krishna, in his three births previously also he performed many austerities. Krishna, he appeared to him in form of Dhruvandara, Kashyap, Aditi. So he remembered his Prabhu. And when he remembered his Prabhu, Prabhu himself appeared. And he... this way, when he started praying, then Prabhu himself appeared as his son there in Mathura. So this way, Vasudev, he started speaking to Kansa. He said, oh Kansa, you are very powerful. You know everything. You know that if you are meant to die, you will have to die. So even if you kill your daughter, your sister now, then why should you? Everyone will criticize you. They'll say, let's look at him. He's killed a woman, and not just a woman. He's killed his younger sister. So then, so Vasudev, his words, they entered Kansa's ears, and then they pacified him. Kansa said, all right, I'll let her go. But every son that she gives birth to, you must give him to me, hand him over to me. So when the first son was born, Vasudev handed him over to Kansa. Then Kansa said, oh, I take him back, I don't want him. Then Naradashi, he came and he said, hey Kansa. And he said, oh Gurudev. And Naradashi sit down. Then he said, oh Kansa, you're a great fool. You're letting Vasudev's children go away. Then his eighth son will kill me, so what do I have to do with the other seven? And he said, you don't have any intelligence. You're letting all these sons go away. If you let the seventh son, you think, if you kill the eighth one, the first seven sons will not take revenge. And the first seven will surely kill you because you've killed their eighth brother. So therefore, root it out. Root out this enmity. See, before a tree is sprouted, take root the seed out. Then the tree will not disturb us. So Kansa said yes. Immediately he ran to the prison. Then took every baby, threw that baby at the stone. Crush that baby. Devaki said, hey brother, what are you doing? Then immediately he ran again to grab every baby that she didn't birth to. Then Vasudev, anyhow, he offered prayers to Kansa. And then Kansa again, he became pacified. Then he said, now let's go to the prison now. You stay there. And if you stay there in prison, then as soon as the baby is born, I can kill him. So this way he chained them and he placed huge rocks on their chest. He wouldn't give him water, food, nothing. It was pitch black. There was pitch black darkness there. They said, suffer now here in this prison. In this prison here. So this Vasudev was thinking, Akudur was thinking, if I don't save Devaki and Vasudev, then who? Then I'll be so ungrateful. If one... you see, if a person does even a little welfare to us, we should never forget him. We should always be obliged to him, grateful to him. So this way, Akrura, he said, all right, Kansa. He made a good friendship with him. You glorify him, respect him, even serve him. Why? Because for the sake of Devaki Vasudev, he had to do it. So he'd say, oh, Let me go check your prison. Let me see if these guards are looking after this prison bell or not. Because sometimes these devatas, they can enter the prison and they can pollute the intelligence of these sentries, these guards, and these guards might let Devaki and Vasudev leave. So therefore, give me the responsibility of overlooking the prison. Then Kansa said, all right, good thing. If you're watching over my guards, then it's also good for me. Then Akrura, he dressed as a soldier of Kansa, and what would he do? He would bring food, water to Devaki Vasudev. Anyhow, he would feed them and then he would look after them. Because the guards could not say anything, because Akrura was in a better position than them. So every day he'd feed them and look after them. Then one day Vasudev, she told Devaki, Devaki, since you've married me, you've suffered so much. Now you've been in prison, now you've been in prison, the children have been killed. You're suffering so much because of me. Devaki said, I'm not sad. I'm very happy actually. Why? Because you are such a great saint who has appeared as my husband. You always make me remember Bhagavan. You speak Harikatha to me. Because as long as we are not suffering, then how will we remember our Prabhu Bhagavan? If we are always absorbed in our grihastha life, then when will we have the time to remember Sri Bhagavan? If we are only serving our relatives, then when will we have the time to remember Sri Bhagavan? This way, 24 hours, they won't sleep, they won't eat nothing. They won't even sleep on the bed, they had to sleep on the floor. Their clothes were tattered, torn. Their bodies had become dirty. But still, what Devaki said, a Mahatma like you always remembers Krishna, Prabhu, and you make me remember also. This is my great fortune. And Vasudev Maharaj, he said, certainly, Bhagavan has bestowed his profuse mercy upon you. Therefore, you always carry Bhagavan in your heart. In this way, Krishna appeared as the 8th son and Baldev appeared as the 7th son. So this way, Kansa, he could not enter into the prison. He would see these very dangerous dreams. He'd see big snakes. Anantashesh himself was residing there in this prison. As soon as Kansa would try entering the prison, then Anantashesh would start roaring. When he saw Devaki had become very effulgent, now there was no longer any pitch black darkness in that prison. Now the prison was illuminated. In this way, whenever he would eat, whenever he would drink, he is only remembering Nagaraj, Anantashesh. Anantashesh was attacking him with all his hoods. Now he would no longer disturb Devaki Vasudev. He would not even go enter inside the prison. He could not even sleep in peace. He could not eat. Now he was thinking, oh no, my death is certain. And then in this way, when the seventh womb was lost, then he became very happy. He said, oh good, means the snake has eaten this seventh baby. But actually the womb was transferred from Devaki to Rohini. And then when the eighth baby was born, that time he saw it was a girl, it was not a baby, not a boy. Took that girl and threw that girl on the stone. And there he saw that girl. She appeared as his goddess, who? Durga Devi. And she said, oh, you want to kill me? Know that your killer's a killer. Has taken birth somewhere else. And he said, oh, he's taken birth somewhere else. My mother never speaks lies. Then he called all his ministers. He said, oh, the one who's supposed to kill me has taken birth somewhere else. In this way, he's told all his soldiers, any baby who's been born within 10 days, within this 10 kilometer radius, bring all of them. Kill all these babies. Dismember them. Cut them into many pieces. This is the demoniac nature. They go, what do? They bring goats, they bring fish, they cut them into pieces, they bring pigs, dogs. cut them into pieces. Horses, camels, they eat anything they can lay their hands on. Bring buffaloes. Then what they do? They kill all these animals. Cut them into pieces. Saying, oh, this is the prasad of Durga Devi. So the servants of Kansa are also like this. See, everyone, all these demons were his servants. So then they were all laughing, saying, immediately we'll kill all these babies and eat them. And Putana said, oh, my elder brother, why are you so anxious? As long as I'm here, why should you be anxious? See, I'll bring all the babies who have been born recently. And then their flesh is also very delicate. And so I'll hand those babies over to your two wives. They'll make nice pakoras for you out of these little babies. And so every day there'd be a feast there in Mathura. Because Putana would bring so many babies, newborn babies, she would strangle them. She would do something. She'd break their heads, make chutney out of them, make pickles out of them. Because they're demons, they don't care. They say there'd be these big festivals there in Mathura. So all these demoniac babies who had been born were killed. So they say so many atrocities were committed. So we see as for first 10 years of Krishna's life, Kansa, he sent so many demons. Putana, Trina, Varta, Vasur, Bakasur, Shakadasur, Vyomasur, Vatsasur, Kaliya, Rishtasur, Keshi. He sent so many. But still he could not do anything to Krishna. Now he sent Akrura. Saying, oh, my dear uncle, please go there. He sent him on a golden chariot. Then, not only that, he said, he also sent gifts to Nanda and all the Rajavasis. All poisonous things, poisonous gifts. He wanted to make sure Nanda would not refuse them. Like you see, demons, they always have, they have marijuana, they have opium, they have heroin, they have cocaine, they have all different types of drugs. They know how to use this, they know how to OD themselves. This way they know how to spray all these drugs on them. This way when they sleep, then this way what do they do? They make sure that the oxygen level is depleted. And they say, they always want to do something. And they say they know how to OD themselves, overdose themselves. In this way, all the demons, they know what to do. So sometimes you see also in the sweets, there's bhang, opium inside bhang. And this way when they eat these, so this way Kansa sent all these sweets with marijuana stuffed inside them, because then the Rajavasis then lose consciousness, then he can do something to them. But the Rajavasis, they're very intelligent. They know what to do. See, if one tries to cheat Sri Guru, then how can he cheat? How can one cheat a real friend? So this way he would send all these different sweets, gifts. So Akrura was thinking, how can I give these gifts to Nanda? He's such a demon, this Kansa. None of these things he's given is pure. You should never eat food cooked by impure people. Therefore, you should never eat food, water that has been touched by someone who is uninitiated. You should not even take Channamrit from a person. He was uninitiated. Don't touch his boga. Because Acharya Ramanuja, once, after he took sannyas, when he went for Madhukari, there he saw. Because there he'd go to the homes of the Brahmanas to accept Bhiksha. So Ramanujari wanted to correct these Brahmins. These Brahmins, they do proper Archan Puja of Sri Bhagavan. But these Brahmins did not care. So Ramanujari would chastise them. So one Brahmin, he became very angry. And then he told his wife, when this sadhu comes, Ramanujari comes, when you give him bhiksha, give him poison. He should die immediately. So when he came there to his house to take bhiksha, collect bhiksha, then his wife bought a huge plate full of bhiksha. Because in Madhukari they don't take rice dal. They take some cooked rice. They say they make idli, dosa, chutney. In South India, this is the staple there. Like puliyara, puliyogarai, rasam. They make all these things there. They make chutney there. So the lady, she was trembling. Saying, oh, I'm giving you this prasad, but first feed little of this prasad to a dog, and then you eat this. So she gave a subtle hint. So Ramanacharya, he had his big group. So then he took some of this prasad and he put it down. And as soon as the dog ate it, the dog died. So then all the association of Ramanacharya, like Mahapurna, Shailapurna, Satkopsuri, Rangapuri, they were all his senior god brothers. Then they said, from now Ramanacharya will not do Madhukari. Because his sevak, he himself will cook and offer bhoga. And he'll never accept from the hands of anyone who is not initiated. So they say, Akrura, he took many gifts. But he didn't take even one thing to Nanda's house. He saw this Kansa, all his gifts are very impure, fit to be rejected. Even the rice given by demons is not pure, because very impure minds there. So somehow he hid everything away. So as soon as he crossed the border of Mathura, he threw everything inside the forest. Then he just went with an empty chariot. By the time he reached Vrindavan, it was already evening. By then Krishna had already returned from cowherding. So there Akrura, he saw Krishna's, the imprints of his lotus feet on the ground. And he immediately descended from his chariot, he looked at the imprints of his feet, he held them to his chest, he started rolling on the ground, started smearing this dust on his head. He said, when can I speak to Krishna? When will he address me, oh my dear uncle? When will he speak these sweet words to me? And so he was praying to Bhagavan, when will that good day be mine? But then, by the time he reached Nanda Bhavan, it was already night. So then, lamps had been lit in Nanda's house. No prasad was being offered to everyone. So Akrura, when he came, Nanda received him. He dressed him nicely. He had him bathe. Then he said, no, please honor prasad with us. So Krishna and Brahmadev, they know everything, Antaryami. So they were looking, they were seeing everything. And they say, Akrura, he was only thinking about Krishna and Brahmadev. So they say, when finally this prasad was finished, then he called Krishna and Brahmadev in private. And he started praying. He said, oh, Brahmadev is actually Vasudev's son. Rohini's son, because Rohini, she was the wife of Vasudev. Say, Kansa is always threatening to kill Vasudev, torturing Vasudev Devaki. So he said, I told Nanda, think about them. So and then Kansa is also invited. So if you don't go there, if I return in an empty chariot, then he'll kill me. And he told Krishna and Baldev especially, he'll also kill your parents, Devaki and Vasudev, he'll kill all the Yadavas. But he's a very merciless demon, very wicked demon he is. So in this way he said, let's go with me. So Krishna and Baldev said, you speak to our father. Without our father's permission, we cannot even take one step outside of our house. Then he went to Nanda Baba. Then he prayed to Nanda Baba. Then you must take Krishna and Baldev and come to Mathura. Kansa has arranged for this Dhanushagya. There's a big festival of wrestling. He's called people from all over India. So say, he's also arranged that all of you come with some gifts to this Dhanushagya. So all of you should bring ghee, butter, curd, milk, sweets. You must come here. So Nanda, in the morning, he told all the Vrajavasis, arrange everything. So therefore, this day is called Akshaya Navami. Yesterday was Gopashtami, Ashtami. Today is Navami. So then Nanda, he became ready to leave, to depart to Mathura. Filled his bullock cart, all different kinds of gifts. And all the other Gopas also followed Nanda from behind. This way, but the condition of the Vrajadevi is indescribable. Cannot even be described how they felt such intense pangs of separation. Yashoda, she told Nanda, you're taking my son, bring my son back. She had this doubt. Why? Baladev is Rohini's son, Vasudev's son. So she knew that if Baladev remains back in Mathura, Krishna will also stay there. Because Baladev, he cannot stay without Krishna. Krishna cannot stay without Baladev. There's so much love between them. So she told Nanda, don't leave any of my boys behind. So then the Vrajadevis heard that Krishna is going to Mathura. Then they all surrounded Yashoda. They said, don't tell Nanda Baba to take Krishna away. Don't give him this order. Also, they convinced Nanda, but Nanda also, they tried convincing him, but Nanda also did not listen. Akrura also was praying so much before Narad Rishi also came and prayed to Krishna and Baladev, saying, how long will you play in Braj? You've come to fulfill this desire of yours to relieve Mother Earth of the burden of sin. But now you're going cowherding, you're engaged in Raslila, you're playing with all the sakhas. What will happen to Devaki and Vasudev and the Yadavas if you're only engaged in these leelas? See this Jarasandha, very powerful demon, Kaljavan, Dhritarashtra, Shakuni. And say all the Kauravas are there. All these demons, they'll destroy the entire world. They're plunderers. They plunder. And they pillage. So who will rescue the people of this world from the hands of these demons? So this way they were thinking, oh, Krishna and Baladev, how can we relieve Mother Earth of this burden of sin? From the burden of these demons. So they say, Narad Rishi, Akura, they prayed so much to Krishna and Baladev. Now Krishna was waiting for the right moment. So now that Akura had come, Nanda said, all right, we'll go tomorrow, we'll return the day after. Some say that Krishna made a promise that I'll return the day after. Nanda, he was the one who convinced everyone that we're going today, we'll stay tomorrow there in Mathura, and the day after tomorrow, we'll return to Braj. But Krishna and Baladev, they didn't say anything. And when Krishna, he sat on the chariot in the morning, but when he started going towards Mathura, then they say, all the gopis, they held on to the chariot. They were weeping. And they all lied down in front of the chariot. They caught the reins of the horse. Then they said, we'd rather be crushed under the wheels of this chariot. First, you should kill us by the wheels of a chariot. Then you take Krishna away. But Akrura was very expert. He would make sure, as the gopis would come front, he would take the chariot behind. And then he started maneuvering his way across all the gopis. Then he took the chariot through the forest in another way. And this way he left the gopis behind. So he made sure the horses would not stop anywhere. When he came near this Bhatarol, Akrura ghat on the banks of the Yamuna, it only become evening. Then he took a bath, Charananik. So then he had not eaten anything the whole day. So then he went to bathe there in the Yamuna. In the water he saw Krishna and Baladev were sitting on the chariot, but they were also inside the Yamuna. So then he was very surprised. They're also inside, they're outside, they're everywhere. Why? Because Krishna and Baladev, they actually returned to Braj in their original forms. And Vasudev Nandan Krishna and Vasudev Nandan Baladev, they were the ones who left with Mathura. From Braj to Mathura. And so they came and they wandered in Mathura, these two sons of Devaki, Vasudev, Rohini. And then the next day they were asking everyone, where is this Dhanushyagya, where is this sacrificial arena, Rangamanch? Because you see, there's Kansatila is there, where his house is situated. And where is this wrestling arena? It's outside Holy Gate, near Rangeshwar Mahadev. Before there was a huge forest there, so there this wrestling arena was there. There's a huge singhasan, which is situated on top. So Krishna Baldev, they were asking all the Mathura Vasis. Then they say, they killed Kovalaya Pida, Saltoshal Chanur Mustik. They say there was a very grand stage erected. Then Krishna, he entered the arena, he had this tusk of the elephant that he had killed, this Kovalaya Pida. Then this bloodstained tusk. Then we know that Leela Chanur Mustik came, Saltoshal came. And then on Krishna Baldev, they told Saltoshal Chanur Mustik that both of you are huge wrestlers. We're small boys, how can we? We're lightweights, both of you are heavyweights. And then Chanur Mustik said, oh, you're always eating butter, drinking milk. You killed all these big demons. Akasur, Bakasur, what are we in front of these demons? So first wrestle with us, don't speak lies. So when they started wrestling, Chanur Mustik, they took Krishna and Baldev and started throwing them high up in the air. So Krishna, they said, all right, go see what is there high up in the air. So they threw both of them high up in the air. And then they say they started wrestling Krishna and Baladev. They started wrestling with them. Then they say Krishna and Baladev, immediately they threw Chanur Mustik. They killed them. And then all the others, Kansa sent all the others. And they had this tusk of the elephant. Krishna used that tusk to kill all the other wrestlers. So then Kansa, he was sitting 22 feet high up in the air on an elevated stage. So then Kansa, Krishna, he jumped onto that stage. Then he said, oh, my dear uncle, give me this gift. You said you will reward us. We defeated these demons. And Kansa was trembling in fear. He was crying. Then Krishna... So Krishna jumped up to him and Kansa, he jumped down. He landed on his back. And then Krishna, he sat on his chest. He was shaking his chin, saying, where is my uncle? Where is he gone? So then he said, you've called me. Give me some gift. Then Krishna caught one leg. Baldev caught one leg. They started dragging him. Then his two wives, Asti, Prapti, they were weeping. Oh, her husband has died. Then all the others started saying, oh, look at these two boys, these two nephews, they killed their uncle. Just see how they are. They killed so many demons. Look at them. His father is also not saying anything, their father. They say, everyone, there were some who were criticizing Krishna and Baladev. And so when they were dragging Kansa's body all over Mathura, all the drains were formed by Kansa's mercy. And then they brought Kansa to Dhruvghat. Then they cremated him. And then on the day of Ekadashi, Krishna and Baladev, they did parikrama of three forests, Mathura, Vrindavan and Garud Govind. Because all the Vrajavasis and all the Mathuravasis also, they were very sad because they were imprisoned by Kansa. So Krishna released all of them from these prisons. So as long as one will not visit, and touch Rajadham, Mathuradham, Garuda, Govind, then one will never get liberated. If one does parikrama of Mathura, then the demons can never touch him. Mathura means Madhura, a place of sweetness. If one touches his dham, then all kinds of lamentation, all kinds of fear, all kinds of anxiety will immediately leave. See, people of this world, they go to Vaishnava Devi, they go to Kailash, Mansarovar, they go to all these different places, but they don't come to Mathura. It is said if you do Mathura parikrama even once in your life, then all your sins, diseases that have been accumulated life after life will all be dispelled, they'll all be removed. And if one does parikrama of Garuda Govind, then all his parabdha from millions of lives will also go away. And if one does Vrindavan parikrama, he'll get prem, Krishna prem. get the mercy of Bhagavan. So therefore, Bhagavan, he took all the Vrajavasis, the parikrama of Mathura, Garud Govind Vrindavan. Then again he returned there. He did parikrama from the outskirts. Then he returned to Mathura again. This way, how will the minds of everyone be pure? They don't touch these places. At that time, you see, there was blood everywhere, meat and flesh everywhere. So they were all cremated. Then Krishna, he had a bath there in Yamuna, in Vishram Ghat. And then he met with Nanda in the evening. And Nanda was waiting for him since 3 days, saying, where is my son? Where has he been all this while? Then he said, oh, Baba, when I released all these Yaduvanshis, then these Yaduvanshis, they caught me. They said, oh, Baladev is Vasudev's son. And you are also our son. You are not Nanda's son. You are not the son of Nanda and Yashoda. Because Nanda and Yashoda are very aged. How can they have a children when they're old age? And Nanda and Yashoda are very fair complexion, and Krishna, you're very black. So how can you be Nanda's son? You're our son. So everyone was saying this. All the other ones, they would not let Krishna leave. Krishna said, if I would try leaving them, then they start crying so loudly. So what can I do? So then Nanda said, all right, Baladev is Vasudev's son. He should stay behind. You, Krishna, you come with me. But Baladev said, how can I leave Krishna behind? You cannot stay in one moment without him. Even I'll come with you. I'm your son. You're my father. Then Nanda said, listen, Vasudev has no son. You should stay with him. Then Krishna said, Baba, can I say something? He said, Kansa, he died because of his sins. But everyone is criticizing me. Now Jarasan, he is Kansa's father-in-law. Asti and Nasti, they are his daughters. They went to their father and they said, and therefore, the father will surely attack. They will even attack Braj. He'll give so much trouble to the Brajvasis. And then he'll destroy all of Mathura. So therefore, I'll stay here for some time. This way, I'll rescue all the Yadavas and kill all the demons. Immediately, I'll return there to Vrindavan. Because here, there's no one to look after them. Then Ugrasen was already enthroned as the king. This way, Sursen also, they will, all of them, were given their respective posts, because Akrur also was given a good portion. So Krishna, he gave a lot of gifts to Nanda, and he said, take all these gifts and return to Nandagaon. And Nanda was saying, how can I go with all these gifts? And the Vrajavasis will think I've just sold in the market and bought all these gold and jewels. They said, no, Baba, still you should take them. Tell them that Krishna has given you these things. And if he doesn't see you wearing these sadis and all these ornaments, then he'll become very sad. I've never given anything to all of you. No, I'm giving you these gifts. Take them away. So he convinced Nanda. And this way, Shridham Sudham, Nanda, Shridham Sudham, Vasudham, Sav Krishna, Lavanga, Vringa, they all sat on the bullock carts with all these gifts. Without Krishna, they were all weeping. You see, Krishna, he had not left Braj for even one moment. He had not eaten or drunk anything without the Rajavas. He drank anything without them. So he told Nanda, if I am a little late in coming, then tell mother to cook something for me and send it to me through someone. Jiva Goswami is written in Gopal Champu that Krishna, he never ate anything in Mathura or Dwaraka. Every day, the Vrajavasis would send something. Krishna would send 2-3 messengers from Mathura Dwaraka, and these 2-3 messengers would come to Vrindavan every day. And they'd give word about Krishna. And then they'd speak about the Vrajavasis to Krishna. They'd speak about Krishna to the Vrajavasis. They say, what are the Vrajavasis that cook, they'd bring to Krishna. And Krishna would eat them. And Krishna is always thinking, oh, how can I meet these Vrajavasis? So Jiva Goswami has described everything very beautifully in his Sri Gopal Champu. Even when he was in Dwaraka, he'd send 2 messengers every day to Raj. And in this way, Nanda Baba, he heard from these messengers, oh, today Krishna has killed this demon, Krishna has married Rukmini, Krishna has married these 16,108 queens. Nanda would be so happy that his son was happy. Nanda and Yashoda, but they never ate anything. Because they were thinking, without feeding our son, how can we eat? They did not even drink any water. They were only subsisting, they were only sustaining their lives by this Krishnamras, by remembering Krishna. Shri Ram Sudam, they never entered Raj. They were only staying in Matvam, near Pandirvan. They never left Sakis and Manjaris. They stayed there with Radharani Uddhav Kyari. They never left Uddhav Kyari. And then the servants of Krishna, only they remained behind in Nandagaon. And these Brahmins, Brahmanis would cook something. But Nanda and Yashoda, they just distanced themselves from everyone else. So these pastimes have been described very beautifully by our acharyas. Now we'll listen tomorrow. Nandari Haribol.